Broadcasting live from a haunted schooner 20 miles off the coast of Portland, Maine, this is Actually Comics for January 6th, 2021. Evening, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
It's doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So we got some comics to talk about, as always. It's a new year, and it's a new DC. Everything's changing. The world is not the world that I remember. My childhood
a different world.
Has been destroyed by these new DC books. My goodness.
Man, I'm sorry. I'll pour one out for your childhood.
You really should. I am ridiculously stoked for these guys. I have very much enjoyed pretty much everything that I've read from this new series. Pretty into it. I was even into Flash, which I thought was weird.
Flash actually was pretty good.
Don't normally care that much. I haven't liked Flash since Geoff Johns, pretty much.
Yeah, it hasn't been really great since then. I don't necessarily think this is quite up to there, but
I don't think so either.
It's not my favorite of Future State, but definitely it's all better.
Yeah.
The worst of it is better than I ever had dreamed.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And I felt like I didn't read the Superman backup, but I felt like that was a little on the weak side for me.
I actually really well. We'll talk to like
yeah.
But,
sure,
we
can talk about all the stuff when it comes up.
Yeah, I have things to say about the backups.
Cool. Well, let's start out with Marvel offering Amazing Spider-Man number 56. This is the end of that big, long, way overblown storyline with Kindred, and I liked it. I actually really liked this story. This particular issue was fun. It still has Kindred. It's still like a wrap up to the story, but it went in a direction that was absolutely not what I thought they were going to do.
Ow. Sorry, my cat just bit my foot.
Like, you know, there's all those stories that are like, you know, they've amped him up and they just keep amping this character up. And then there's a change in his basic character at the end of this story arc that I'm like, oh, well, that actually is kind of fun. I want to see where you go with that. So I like this quite a bit. We've got a reissue of the Amazing Spider-Man Epic Collection of Goblin's Last Stand, which was sold out and was one of those hard to find ones. So that is
spoiler. Awesome. It's not really his last stand.
No, he stands so many more times.
He's had several stands since then.
He has. Yeah. There is, Avengers, the Age of Khonshu trade is out. That was a really cool storyline and people really dug it. And here is your opportunity. If you missed that, because some of those issues got really pricey and started getting scalpy. So here's a trade. And you can enjoy it in trade paperback format. And
Dang.
Avengers West Coast, How the West Was Won trade paperback.
There's just some wonky ones in there.
I'm fascinated by the fact that it exists. I'm just like, couldn't you just pick it up for like, I don't know, $3 in the quarter bins, but you know, whatever. I'm sure there are people who want that storyline who, you know, especially now can't dig through a quarter bin.
Man, that was the, if I recall correctly, that was the run of West Coast Avengers. That was the redemption of Hank Pym, which at
I
the time
you
was
were correct.
Like, yeah, he became Dr. Pym. I was just like, wasn't he already called Dr. Pym? Like, you know, that's his superhero name. He has a lab coat.
Who are the Wackos?
The Wackos? Oh, that's the West Coast Avengers.
Is that what they called them? They called
that's
them
what
the
they call
Wackos?
Them.
Huh.
Yeah, the West Coast Avengers. Wackos.
What?
It was a kind of a play on that Cap's Kooky Quartet kind of
Okay,
feel. All the
sure.
Avengers teams had a had
Yeah.
their own little nickname.
Okay. There's a
There was
trade.
one where they
Oh.
played baseball. Sorry.
Oh, I mean, is that pre X-Men playing baseball?
No, it was yes, it's post X. I think it's post X-Men baseball. It's in that era of when X-Men were playing baseball a lot.
Man,
But
the
it was
X-Men play a lot of baseball.
they do.
In the
This was the
90s, they
Avengers.
played
It was
basketball, and it was really weird because they're all so
Ooh.
lanky. The way that the Jim Lee designs make them so long, you know, like Rogue looks like she's about 8 feet tall. So
Hey,
I like that
slam
look.
dunks.
Yes. Sweet dunks. Bloodshot, the 2019 series. We got a trade for that as well. There's a
Oh,
Buffy the
cool.
Vampire Slayer, number 21 out. There is a reissue. There's a facsimile edition of the Captain America, the first appearance of Falcon, the meeting of Captain America and Falcon issue. That is Captain America 117. And we have one of the most amazing books of the week, Crossover number 3.
Oh.
Ooh boy, what a great book.
Yeah.
This has some big surprises in it, especially considering the I think it was a really interesting, not to spoil too much, but they went out of their way to put Spawn on the cover, and they threw a curveball in this one, which I thought was cool.
It is a
It is
curveball.
a
It
curveball. It's good stuff.
caught me by surprise. I thought it was cool. Very cool.
So can't say much more than that, but
Nope.
I don't know that spoiling the other secret appearance is really a big deal, but I won't spoil that either. Just to say that there is another cameo from another Donny Cates thing, which is awesome.
Nice.
and we have the trade paperbacks for that in stock. So
Very good.
Dark Knight's Death Metal, number 7 is out. We finish up the arc and yeah, it was a hot mess, as you
It
might
was a hot
expect.
mess.
But you
It was
know,
a very hot mess.
we are introduced to the new Wonder Woman in this issue. We get a little one panel cameo for Yara Flor, the new Wonder Woman.
Yep.
It's pretty much what you expected. I actually thought that the wrap-up part, again, not to spoil anything, but as it actually wrapped up, there was some kind of nice writing. It was kind of sweet. Like, I thought it was not as cheesy as it could have been.
Yeah, there was a couple, like the overall, like I feel like the art in this one was a lot better than the last couple issues, and I think maybe owing to the fact that they added some issues in it partway through the run,
Yeah.
so
Yep.
this one got a little bit more attention. And there's a couple kind of moments that like like it's like, oh, that's cool that they thought of that or
Yeah,
whatever. But
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
it really is all about the wrap up.
Oh.
There's like a the party scene. Did you look at that?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous.
There's a
It's
few.
the most ridiculous thing I've seen in a DC comic in a long time. So I got that's what I was in this for.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I was really like, yeah,
I
go.
was super pleased to see that they didn't let go of the goofiness. That
Well,
because
yeah.
they were in danger in issue 6. And like some of the tie-ins around that time period, to really like just be like, what? It was like this goofy, fun, silly thing, and then they're like, and then the Holocaust, and it's like, whoa, 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 no, and like, let's not get serious in the middle of this fucking bonkers monster truck Batman story.
Yeah, and I was trying to like kind of analyze like the things that like were goofy fun that I liked versus the things that were goofy fun that I thought were not
Yes.
fun. But at the very end when they tie it up and they're kind of just like it's, obviously with this death metal thing that it's like the new kind of status quo, like yeah, it was fun. And I especially liked the end. You got some Yannick Paquette art at
Yeah.
the end as well, and I like him. Actually, a couple of different books with him this week, which was a nice treat.
Yeah.
He's good.
Overall, I was pleased with the way that it came together, but it definitely it exited better than I thought it was going to, given the last couple of issues.
Yeah, there's a couple things that I kind of was just like, I mean, it is kind of essentially pointless to talk about it without spoiling any of it. So
correct. So we will talk about The Dreaming Waking Hours number 6 being a comic book that is available to purchase. Oh, shit. And here's a comic that I should have fucking read, and I just spaced on it. God damn it. Eternals number 1. I just fucking hate the Eternals. I hate them. I do not care about this. Like, I think it's fun that Kirby did it. It's like, it's not a group of people that I need other people doing treatments of. Like, the Kirby version is fine, and then let it go from there. I feel like they can just never come back, and I would be totally, totally okay with it.
Well, it's like some of those things where it's like some of the Kirby stuff like works on its own, like Silver Surfer, like, or Black Panther, which started out as like ancillary characters, like ended up lending themselves really well to series. But then some of that stuff like Eternals, or, well, I guess Eternals probably started as its own book, but I don't know. It's just not compelling to me.
I mean, horrible hot take here. Black Panther's kind of just a ripoff of the Phantom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Except for the Phantom is white.
Oh, there you go. That's the whole difference.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's a black Phantom is essentially what. Yes, he's it's a lineage that like they think it's eternal, but it's not, and it's, you know, I mean,
but
ripoff would certainly be a far cry. It's definitely in the same world as the Phantom.
But it's one of those things where, as conceived by Kirby, actually, it isn't really like...
It changes everything. But then, that's the thing.
Like when
is that if you were to hear it as a pitch, you'd go, well, that's, you're talking about the Phantom, but you're just putting a black character in it. And then Kirby does it, and you're like, what the fuck is this insanity? That first issue is so bonkers. And actually, the following few issues with the crazy frog idols and all that nonsense, it's so fun. Oh.
Yeah, that shit is real. That's the later, like, so, like, after he, like, comes back to it.
Oh, after Jungle Adventures.
Yeah, but like the Don McGregor stuff, like what I was saying is that like as Kirby, it's like one of the things that like Kirby's character, I don't know why we're talking about Black Panther so much, there's literally no, but like Kirby's character, like as conceived and in Fantastic Four is kind of like a one note thing. And then people did really cool stuff with it. And then Kirby came back and did this weird time travel frog machinery of the cosmos or whatever. But like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, it was, I think really the secret was that he made Wakanda, and that was like, oh shit, that is a game changer. And that was really the thing that like the character himself was not that big a deal. And then I think that the surrounding crazy mechanized world that Kirby did really amped it up to the nth degree. That's for me. That's how I feel about it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I will say one thing I'm not wrong about is that this fucking Eternals reissue is the biggest trade we've ever had in the store. And, I don't know.
Yeah, I believe it.
I don't know what to do with it. I honest to God do not know where the fuck to put this thing. It's like 15 Bibles put together. It's like, this thing is, it stands like 3 feet tall. Why did you make this thing so big?
It's like almost like it's like bigger than Wednesday Comics. It is, or 100% like at least comparable.
Bigger than Wednesday Comics. It is bigger than it's the regular comics done with the I assume it's with the digital recoloring that we see with everything, but it's done full artboard size. So it's as though the artboards were in it, except it's the comic. So instead of being one of those like, you know, look at how the artist did this kind of thing editions, it's just the comic gigantic. Like the panels are the size of the comic, basically, which is cuckoo bananas. Firepower number 7 is out this week. I did not read it, but I have loved every issue up until now. Future State, Harley Quinn, number 1. I gave a cursory glance to because this is still Harlene Quinzel for some reason, and I was expecting this was going to be the new Harley Quinn, and it is not. I thought there was going to be some new replacement, but I guess this was just a kind of a hey, it's another.
I think not everybody got a replacement in Future State. The Harley Quinn was okay.
Am I crazy, or is there a new Harley Quinn series coming up that does not have this Harley Quinn in it? Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't know. You'd have more of a line on that.
You know, you'd think I would, but I read the descriptions while I was ordering it, and I was like, meh, oh, whatever. Because that's what I do.
Hey.
Superman of Metropolis. I hear you have some thoughts on this particular comic book.
Oh, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I actually like the backup stories in it. I don't know if you skipped Batman purposefully or because of it's coming up in a different order or something like that, but Batman, Superman, they all have like, they're huge, the price tag is a little beefy on them, but they have like backup stories, and the Superman had really good backup stories, and the story itself was really cool. Just kind of, it's Superman's kid, so Future State basically being like 10 years in the future or 15 years in the future or something like that. So DC like kind of like, you know, here's what could happen. And so you've got Superman is off planet doing something, and this is like his kid, and he's the Superman of Metropolis, which is, I guess, why it's called that. And you get to find out like what's up with like who his enemies are, and there's some cool ones in there.
There's some fun
kind of
stuff.
Briefly glossed over.
I wasn't sure if they were making a joke with some of them or if these are going to be legitimate. I hope the Time Luchadors figure prominently into the future of Superman.
I don't know how many issues these series have. Like, is
two issue series?
Two issues, so probably not going to get a lot of screen time for these guys.
That's
but
a real shame.
I think that you might, you know, especially given what essentially is like already proving to be like somewhat popular take on, you know, like people are responding positively to these comics.
Yeah.
I think, you know, potentially you could see them again.
Who knows what the hell's going on in the minds of the AT&T world of DC right now, but I assume that this was supposed to be the Ultimate Universe. This was definitely going to be the DC Ultimate Universe at some point. And so I don't know if that's still the idea. I mean, because who the hell knows what they're thinking at this point?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I imagine if it's popular, it'll...
Right. Exactly.
You know, it'll keep going. Like when Spider-Girl first started and it was like, oh, people really like this. And then it like lasted for like 100 issues or something.
Yeah, that was weird. It was a cool series.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing.
There was like a cutout and it sounded like you said Womp Thing.
Womp Thing. Swamp Thing. Great comic. This drops you kind of in the middle of a no man's land when it starts out. I was a little at sea with what had happened, but I guess we're literally picking up right after Death Metal here. Because that is, I guess this is literally existing in the Death Metal universe somehow. Because there are no people left. And so there's only swamp people. And we start out with him looking for other humans, and his kids, Indigo and whatever the other one is named, are like, hey, Dad, you know, humans are total fucking shitbags. Why are you looking for them? And he's like, let me tell you a story, kids. People aren't that bad. Once upon a time, I was a muck encrusted mockery of a man who didn't love them. Yeah, whatever. You know.
That's man thing.
You know what? I think they're both muck encrusted mockeries of men.
I think Swamp Thing is crust and muck did. No, I don't know. I can't.
I think he was,
I didn't
I think
read,
he was
I
the
honestly
plant
did
that
not.
Dreamed he was a man, or was he the man that dreamed he was a plant?
I don't know. The plant that walked like a man. I don't know what I didn't read Swamp Thing. I'll be honest. Like, I didn't read it.
I'm looking forward to the ongoing of this. These two issues are just setting us up. Like, what I thought this Harley series was going to do too, was going to be setting us up for what's coming up in the new Harley series, this Swamp Thing is 100% setting us up for a new Swamp Thing to exist. There is, I mean, this is not a gigantic spoiler, I don't think, to say that something happens in these two issues that means that there is a new person who is the Avatar of the Green in this upcoming Swamp Thing ongoing. Because he's going to be Indian and Ram V is writing it, so it's
nice.
That makes it a first in the DC universe to have an Indian headed character.
And the cool thing
Indian
about
series, yeah, whatever. I can't say the words that I was trying to say. His head is also Indian, but
his head is also Indian. The thing
all
about
parts of him,
yeah. It's funny because, like, I know that this started as like 5G and it was like a Dan Didio thing and he's not around or whatever. And the idea behind Future State was that it was like, this was going to be the comics, like, going forward. Like, there's a new Batman, there's a new Wonder Woman, there's a new whatever. And like, then those, and I like, actually, I really like the idea of that. And I think that the quality of these is actually the ones that actually came out. I think it ended up being of better quality than it would have been had it gone to its initial plan. Like, my concern when they were first talking about it was that it was going to end up being like New 52, where it's like, here's a new Batman drawn by Rob Liefeld or something. And it was just like,
agree.
Know, nothing against Rob Liefeld. Just like, that's not what I'm looking for.
No,
you know?
No, no, no. I totally agree with you. Totally ignore whether it's like personalities that you dislike. But the New 52 was a cult of personality kind of release where it's like, this is going to be Rob Liefeld's Savage Hawkman. This is going to be Jim Lee's approach to this. This is going to be this person's approach to Firestorm, you know, and it was like, cool. I mean, I like that idea, but I like that as a limited series. Especially because, you know, you're not going to keep them for more than 10 issues. Batman was the only one that kept a creative team the whole time, I think.
Yeah, but that was actually really the problem with New 52, was that, like, you kept, like, it ended up screwing up, like, the whole, if you were following Batman, that was during the Grant Morrison run, and it was, like, it was really good, and then all of a sudden, just, like, shit that was part of the series just, like, wasn't part of the series anymore, and it was, like, it didn't make any fucking sense, you know? whatever. The nice thing about Grant Morrison is that it doesn't, like, he can make something that doesn't make sense inside of itself, and then it was fine.
Yes.
I didn't read Swamp Thing, but I think that I am very excited about Future State, and, like, even Harley Quinn, which was one of not the... I didn't find it to be one of the stronger books. Like, there was some cool stuff in it. Like, there's a lot of redesigns of Batman villains, existing ones. And just like a different status quo where it's like, you know, everybody's a little bit older and they've gone through some shit and, you know, so it's like, it feels new and fresh in a way that I think these comics kind of need to, in order to be, like, you know, in the same way that, like, the Silver Age was probably like a huge deal to people who were reading comics then. And it's like, oh, this is cool. There's a new version of everything and it's fun. And it doesn't feel like I've the same story I've read. Like,
I agree.
I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyway.
And The Flash, as we said, feels that way. So that's Flash number one. And The Next Batman is why it is, it is in this order. It comes under Future State
because we're doing Future State and now we're getting all
Future State,
titles.
The Next Batman. So that is why it falls alphabetically in this odd spot.
That was what I was confused about.
Aha. Yes. Wow. That first story ruled.
That was so good.
So into that. I was so into the coloring. I felt like if this was your flagship and you were just like, hey, here it is, this is our idea, I feel like it would be impossible for people not to get on board with this series. It's like, it literally felt like if you're trying to say this is the future, that felt like a Batman story from the future. I felt like I went 20 years in the future and picked up a Batman book off the shelf.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is a future story with Batman in it. It wasn't like, oh, look, there's robots and planes, there's all sorts of weird technology or whatever. It was just, it felt like they had gone into the future and told a story that was taking place in 20 years. It's awesome.
Absolutely. It's so good. So it's written by John Ridley and drawn by Nick Darrington. So the art and writing is absolutely like top-notch, stellar.
Coloring was obscenely awesome. The coloring choice was so fucking daring. DC does not do that shit. Like, that is not a DC choice, and that was killer.
Well, one of the cool things about this, actually, this is, the writer is different, but the art team, art and colors, is from the Doom Patrol series that just wrapped, the Gerard Way Doom Patrol series. It's awesome. It's Nick Darrington and Tamara Bonvillain.
So it's like, of course it is.
Yeah, so it's like, it's these guys have like a rapport, and then John Ridley is a fantastic writer. So it's cool, but I think the smartest thing that they did about this is that while it does feel like it's a future version of Batman, a lot of the elements, like, they didn't change it so much that it's like radically different.
Right.
Batman still looks and feels like Batman, even though it's a different person. You've got like these villains with like the Bane masks, so you have like this Bane visual that's like goes through it. So it's like there's elements
that
root you in the familiarity of.
Right. I mean, it definitely, there's some similarities between this and Batman Beyond, except that it doesn't go that futury. Like, the Bane characters obviously echo the Jokers of the Batman Beyond universe and all that stuff, but it's its own thing, and it just feels super solid. And it's not like a guy in a mech suit. It is, you know, it's
a Batman.
It is a Batman
scenario. He's a black character who has appeared before briefly as a like a civilian in the Batman book. So like there's a lineage to it, but there's like an interpersonal, like, you get, like, I'll be honest, like, this is another one that, like, I haven't, because of the order I went through it, I haven't like read every page of it, so I can't really speak too much to it, but it's like there's like family dynamics. It's I know it's been revealed it's Lucius Fox's son, so there's like a connection to the overall Batman continuity. And also, this isn't as far in the future as Batman Beyond is,
right?
So like Bruce Wayne isn't like super old in it or anything. He's just like older than he would be, you know, in a regular comic. I don't know, it's just so good. It was my favorite.
Yeah,
but that said, the backups, I was not the backups in the Superman book were top notch. The backups in this one were okay. The Outsiders one was like, I liked what they did with Black Lightning in it.
I loved that little twist. I thought that was really interesting. I definitely had a moment of feeling like I'd been duped when I read that. I was like, oh, you fuckers, you didn't think that an Outsiders book was strong enough to hold on its own, and so you had a regular Batman book and you put it in as a backup. You dick faces, and then charge $9 for the book. What a move. But luckily, I enjoyed the story, so it was not quite as annoying.
Yeah, the only, actually, it's, I would mention also, it's only $8. Oh. But the only thing of this is this Arkham Knight character that looks like Batman who plays football, like or like Batman who is mixed with Captain America or something. Yes. He even has a shield that has an A on it. I don't know. I just don't get why that character. It was like one that
he came from a video game, and people like video games.
We're dying to tell the story of Arkham Knight, which I don't know. Whatever.
Apparently, we are.
Whatever. Maybe I'll read it and be like, oh, this is great.
They're trying to integrate all of their video game world stuff, I guess. I don't know. Wonder Woman, Future State. Oh, that was fun.
I loved it.
The art in this is beyond. This was like, again, it's a book that was so pretty. It reminded me of Monstrous. You know, like, it was like that level of just beautiful Art Deco kind of, like, just lots of crazy lattice design work in the panels, and like it just goddamn gorgeous.
Yeah, this is Joel Jones and Jordi Belair. It's really great. I love the like mythological hodgepodge of this, where it's like she has a Pegasus named Jerry, but like there's like Greek mythology in it. There's like native Brazilian mythology, like just and she's from Brazil, I believe. If I pulled that out of the like, there's just a lot of really cool. Like the mythological characters that are in this are wicked cool. I love this take, and I love like just a ground floor, like brand new, in the same way like Batman, like there's like elements of Batman that are pulled from the comics as they exist, and this is like completely new like tableau. But that said, they both are exciting because it's like it's a known unknown. It still looks like Wonder Woman, but it's a different character, it's a different setting, it's a different scenario.
Yeah,
I really, the Wonder Woman and Batman were the strong.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of complaints that this is a Marvelization of DC characters, because I think we are going to see, well, because both Swamp Thing and Wonder Woman, you're taking the God concept and flipping it to the other side, where instead of being a god trying to pretend to be a person, you're having a person who gets godlike powers thrust upon them, and they're trying to behave in a world where they, you know, they make mistakes and they have their lives. So in both of those situations, it's a little less DC, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that it's like kind of traditionally Marvel territory, but DC has a history of characters that kind of play along that Marvelization, like Metamorpho and shit like that. True. That goes way back. Doom Patrol and that like predates X-Men, so like, I mean, by a month, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I guess that didn't bother me in any way, and I wouldn't. To me, like, Marvel has so many like DC style characters now too that I don't feel like it's like a valid criticism to not be into something. Like I could see someone not being into every Future State title, but like I think that you could, like Wonder Woman and Batman particularly are like fantastic, and then the Wonder Woman doesn't have backups, so it's like a normal price comic too.
Yep. And Generations Shattered number one. Explain this to me. Somebody tell me what's going on here.
This is a very Dan Jurgens comic. It's got too much time travel. Well, it is entirely time travel. If I don't understand why it exists.
That really is my question.
I think ultimately what they're trying to do is that post, I don't want to say too much about death metal, but I think that post death metal, there's a kind of like, it all matters kind of attitude.
I think so, yeah.
And so what this is trying to do is essentially it's creating a team of characters where each member is from like a different like era of DC. So you have like the Golden Age Batman, you have like the 80s Starfire, you have like Sinestro.
Yeah. Okay.
From before he was before he was evil and he was a Green Lantern. You got Booster Gold in there, you got Commandy in there, you got Superboy from when he was hanging out with the Legion, you got Steel. And so it's basically just like this but it's a time travel yarn where you kind of pull all these characters, like there's some kind of crisis that's destroying all of these various timelines. And so Booster Gold and Commandy are pulling a team of warriors together throughout time in order to defeat it. So it's very Zero Hour.
Yeah.
As like it's like Zero Hour, like as a team book. I actually thought it was kind of fun. There's some really good art in, especially like certain chapters. It was cool. There's also some like minor, I would say very minor Future State tie-in to this. Like you do see some of the Future State stuff, but you also see like weird stuff like Jack Knight as Starman and like Black Lightning in his 70s costume and stuff like that. So like I'm not, I just, the thing is like, I can't answer why it exists.
Okay,
But
that's fine.
I didn't like, if you liked Zero Hour, if you like classic DC stuff, like it's all, it feels like a more like kind of old school DC, like post-crisis kind of comic.
Gotcha. Yeah, I get it.
I didn't hate it. Didn't hate it.
Cool. Guardians of the Galaxy, number 10, King in Black tie-in. This is a big deal. This was, as far as the King in Black stuff goes, this was this is kind of a game changer issue. So if you are paying attention to the series, definitely I would pick this up. There's a status quo change that I did not notice for Quill, that I apparently had missed an issue or two as to what's going on with his deal, but he has some sort of new thing that has happened to him. I don't know when it happened, so I don't know if it's a big spoiler, but it's how he relates to his element gun. He's basically channeling himself through it, and he is now like part sun god, kinda.
I flipped through this and I
There's a
did, yeah,
thing.
I saw like the visual of it was interesting.
He has
I
he I
don't
don't know what happened. I
I
missed something somewhere. I gotta go
yeah.
back, but yes, definitely there are some important things that are going to drastically impact the King in Black storyline. So
Nice.
cool, good stuff. And if you are looking to read Harrow County and you have not started yet, great time to do it. They have just released the omnibus edition, so for $30 you get those like Hellboy omnibus sized like three trade things. So you're basically paying $10 a trade deal. And Harrow County, one of the best horror stories in the last 10 years. So good. Yeah, hands down. Hellions, number 8. Did not read it.
I
Oops.
flipped through it.
What's going on? I have no idea what's going on in Hellions.
I couldn't tell
I
you.
think I missed the last three issues. Yeah, oh well. Incredible Hulk, Epic Collection. Who will judge the Hulk? Huh? Who's gonna do it? You?
Is it the leader?
From the
Is it
cover, I'm going to say that it's the Rhino.
the Rhino judges the Hulk? Interesting take.
Yes.
I like that.
Looks like it's his deal.
I done judged you, Hulk. I judged you.
And found you
I
wanting.
don't know. I found your one. I think that's a little heady for the Rhino.
Inkblot, number 5. What a
Thank you,
fun,
Cat.
adorable cat series. So fun. Iron Man, number 5.
I first Iron Man comic I have bought in forever.
This is the best team that has ever been assembled for anything.
Yes, I
And
lost my marbles when I saw this shit.
who knew? Who knew the Fantabulous Frogman was going to be recruited for a super team in 2021? I don't know. Somebody
Yeah,
smart.
I have literally straight up zero idea what is actually happening in this Iron Man, except for that Korvac is involved. But yeah,
Yes.
he forms a new team of the Gargoyle, Scarlet Spider, Misty Knight, and Frogman. And I said, you sold me right
Yeah,
there.
that
Like,
is
good fucking job. I
amazing.
bought it. I
Amazing.
bought it. I'm gonna read it. I'll if as long as it has these guys in it, I'll buy it. This is like, it's like he basically just like gets next wave, like essentially,
Yeah.
like, you know, like the equivalent of, I guess, or some kind of loose equivalent of. Very cool.
Yes. We have the Aftershock trade for Join the Future, the Zach Kaplan Piotr Kowalski book. Fun little sci-fi thingy that I did not pay attention to that a lot of people really loved. So, my loss.
Cool.
Juggernaut, number 5. This wraps up the miniseries.
I like this series.
Yeah, whole thing has been a delight. It's been a breath of fresh air in a world of postmodernist comics. This is a straight up throwback to like 1996. It's
Yeah.
just fun. It's just a fun superhero comic without a lot of baggage. Loved it.
Right. And it, like, as a new character,
D-Cell, what is it?
Yeah, D Cell. She's cool. I don't know. I like it. I like a new a new character, and it was helpful for this Juggernaut storyline, because you had like kind of a POV character that kind of brought you through,
a window character, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay, so Return of the Valkyries. King in Black. Did not
forgot
it.
Got to look.
Good God, y'all. We're failing so terribly.
There were so many comics. There were so many. I feel
no guilt.
I feel all right about it.
I feel like I did okay. I read a stack of comics that was pretty sizable this week.
Exactly.
Last Witch number one was not among them, but this looks like a delightful little little all ages romp. What did you think?
I read this. I liked it. It is a like Irish witch character, like would be great for, you know, just kind of readers of like YA fantasy, but cool art, you know, animated, would be a cool animated film or series. And
I mean, it definitely, it's cool. When I looked at it, I was like, oh, this has Netflix written all over it. But, you know, that's fine. It can also be a fun comic on top of being an IP, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like it felt like I'm not going to like review it or anything. It did feel a little like kind of like, I don't want to say generic, but like, I don't know, some of the names and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was just like, really? But, you know, whatever. Just like kind of formulaic in a way. But I thought the story was fun and lighthearted, and it didn't involve elves in any way. So I was all about it.
Oh yes,
I hate elves. Unless you bring the elves into the story afterwards, like Hellboy.
Hell,
I can tolerate an elf. Well, you know, like you had Hellboy. Yes. He was fighting Nazis, doing his thing. Then all of a sudden, then there's some elves in there. It's like, okay, I can't stop reading this comic. I like just because it has elves. But if like the first issue of Hellboy was like, here's elves.
I feel the same. I mean, I feel the same way about fairies. I feel that way about like all of the fae kind of like European stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel similarly about fairies as well.
It definitely has this feeling of either being too much, like it brings things so far into fantasy that it makes it difficult for me to suspend my disbelief. And also, they are so unexplained as characters. Like elves, you're like, especially fairies, where you're like, ah, you know, and the fairy, it can grant wishes and fly and it's immortal and it does, what the fuck is a fairy? You know, like there's a lot of that. Like if it's a vampire, you're like, I kind of know what the rules are. But with a fairy, it's like, it feels like it's so amorphous. It could be anything. You know, they time travel and they impersonate U.S. presidents and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It is weird. A fairy bothers me less, especially if it's like a very small flying one, you know, like the like kind of like, you know, that are more like bugs.
I'm thinking more of the Hellboy type, you know, imprison you in the fairy world, kidnap children and those kind of fairies. More
right,
of the
exactly.
like the traditional like horror story fairy.
If I'm going for a folklore, I'm going for a witch, I'm going for Dracula, I'm going for you know, one of those kind of things, you know, a golem.
Yep. A Frankenstein.
A Frankenstein. Well, I mean, I see Frankenstein as kind of a golem, but yeah.
He is indeed.
A homunculus. But anyway, The Last Witch I thought was fun. For like, it's a boom box, so it's, you know, it's a kid's book. That's cool.
Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 22 is out. It has one of these, I did not read it, but man, these Aliens covers are killing me. It's, you ever feel like
there's a couple good ones.
You ever feel like you get too much of a good thing sometimes? Like, sometimes your prayers get answered and you go, oh shit, I should not have wished for so much. Having Aliens in the Marvel universe, I'm so excited about, and I'm also like, this might be too much. This might be too much of a good thing.
I don't know. An Aliens cross, there's some good Alien superhero crossovers. Like I still say Green Lantern Aliens is one of the best Alien stories. ever done.
I think I love the Batman Superman Aliens one, whichever that one was. I think it had both of them in it. That was fun. I liked the Batman Predator. I thought that was a fun story. I don't know.
Yeah, Predator would totally work with any superhero.
Like, Predator is perfect for the Marvel Universe. Alien is a little different because it's, I don't know. Aliens are supposed to be the alpha, and compared to like a Thor, you're like, eh.
Yeah.
Not really that big a deal.
I mean, an alien's ability to modify the host into a new version of itself. I mean, but the thing is with Marvel,
that scales pretty terribly once you're like, oh, and you know, an alien got into Sentry and now there's a super alien.
Galactus, oh, it was met the aliens or whatever. But that said, Marvel already has that because they already have the Brood, which is literally just aliens.
Yeah.
Like they're identical.
They just literally couldn't just use
like
aliens.
Chris Thurmond was like, I can't use aliens, so I'm gonna make this whole thing.
Yeah, which
but, oh man, can you imagine if there was an alien like Brood? Then they'll market like a cute one, and it'll be like Baby Yoda. Oh man.
Oh my, there is gonna be an Aliens TV series, so maybe we are gonna be looking at a Baby Yoda for the Alien universe.
Yes. Like, oh man, I want like an Animaniacs cartoon of aliens.
I hate to say it, but I kinda do too.
Yeah. Anyway.
These are terrible, terrible ideas that they absolutely will do. MODOK Head Games number 2. Fun.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt wrote this and with a co-writer. It's really great. And there's like a fucking awesome scene with MODOK and the hate monger in this that I was like, fuck yes. And then there's like a cool cameo at the end. I liked MODOK. It's a good series.
I had somebody who was like looking for comics for their kids. And they're like, hey, there's a MODOK comic coming out. And I know there's this like kids MODOK show coming out. And I was like, I don't think this is going to be for the kids. And I sent him a screenshot of the panel that basically just had like a 15 AIM officers cut in half, just like blood spraying everywhere. And I was like, this is kind of the content you're looking at with this book.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely funny, but it's definitely for like an older like kid, if it's for a kid. Although I did really like the criminal technology show Expo with all the villains. And I do love the idea of like when Patton Oswalt writes a comic and it's just like, it doesn't, continuity doesn't matter. Just whoever shows up, and it's like, it's great. You know, like you never know who's going to show up. And also headbutt, MODOK might headbutt the haymonger.
I mean, that's worth the price of admission alone.
Absolutely.
Rise of Ultraman number 5 is out. We have the Savage Sword of Conan original Marvel Years Omnibus number 4 out.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Nice. Marvel, we got Spider-Woman number 8, which has one of my favorite of the Alien covers. That cover is weird.
I didn't see it.
Real weird.
That's one of the ones I didn't look at.
So it has her in the power loader fighting the alien queen, but she looks like she's like I don't know. It looks way more biomechanical. There's way too many, like it's an odd one. She's got a lot of Ghostbusters energy around her.
Googling this as we speak.
It's an odd cover, but I love it. Yeah, like I said, I like this series. I don't know. A lot of people are kind of on it, but I mean, she's one of those characters that either you want to read it or not. So
yeah, totally.
Star Wars 10 is out. Cool. We got a second printing of Darth Vader number 7 out on the shelves. Star Wars High Republic is out, but of course we don't have copies because we ordered 5 copies because nobody wants auxiliary Star Wars series until somebody's like, oh, and we're making this into a TV series. So our five copies were spoken for the people that I knew who absolutely bought every single Star Wars series. We had nice. Five people that applied to, and we had five copies of this fucking book. The book actually looked pretty good. I wanted to say that it was a piece of shit and that nobody would care about it, but it's actually pretty cool. And it's got one of the Jedis as a Bosk, which is pretty cool.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's probably not his race, but it is whatever Bosk is. He's one of those aliens, and I thought that was cool.
It's a reptilosaurus.
Reptilicus. Symbiote Spider-Man has Monica Rambeau on the cover. Which
yeah. Is I thought that was cool because she's Captain Marvel in it because it takes place in the 80s.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be bringing her back as some sort of probably as Photon.
I think why not? Like, I mean, Captain Marvel, there are so many Captain Marvels at this point. Like, why not just have her be fucking Captain Marvel? She kicks ass. She's way cooler than Carol Danvers. I don't give a shit.
I like her too. I mean, she was introduced in the Captain Marvel movie, so I mean, it's only a matter of time before she's in the Marvel cinematic universe.
Right.
So,
right.
Thor number 11 was a big my dinner with Andre Donald Blake sitting down with Jane Foster, trying to act completely sane. And, you know, he's basically, he's taken a break from murdering everyone who's ever been Thor to hang out with her because, you know, they were good friends back in the day. And then she had to go and ruin it by saying something stupid like, "I was Thor while you were asleep." Oopsie. And, you know, things go south from there.
Yeah. It was cool, but also you get the final fate of a legacy Thor character. Or I shouldn't say final fate, but like
there's nothing final in comics, but yeah, there
exactly.
Was a,
but
was
I was like, aw.
Yeah, I literally said aw like exactly like that when that panel happened.
We were probably the only two people because unless you read Peter David's Hulk or Marvel Comics in the 1970s, you have no fucking idea who this guy is.
However, I will say that when I read the last panel, I said, oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, wait, the last panel?
My God, the last page was the greatest page of any comic ever. And
happen to have it right here.
I have a feeling that if you know me at all, you know why that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah, yeah, totally.
I've spoiled it for somebody who knows me. anyway, Usagi Yojimbo number 16 is out. Vain number 4 is out. And Venom number 32, King in Black tie-in is out. Damn fine issue. Yeah. I really loved that. I mean, if you have been following the series, you know that Eddie Brock was falling to his death last issue. And basically the last panel was him hitting a car and kind of exploding into a pile of goo. So
he's dead.
He's like super dead. And now you see where he goes after he dies. And, that is an interesting thing.
With another cool last panel, like, ooh, holy shit.
Yeah. That was another one that I want to spoil it because I want to shout out how much I love the fact that they're paying homage to this character, but
yeah,
I'm going to let everyone find out for themselves. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Walking
the less
Dead
said the better.
Deluxe number 6 is out. And there we go. That's all of the comical books, right? Yep, that's it. Oh, X Factor.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry, X Factor number 6.
X Factor. Yes.
Yes. X Factor, which I also did not read. So it's an anti-climax, everyone.
I flipped through it. You know.
I got to say,
X Factor, you probably like it.
I have gone back because I'm trying to remember. I think it might have been a podcast with Chad where we were talking about X-Men and vampires for some reason. And I said, anytime vampires come into the X-Men is garbage. It ruins everything. I hate vampires in the X-Men. And then I was like, you know what? I feel like I really liked Curse of the Mutants. And I thought that was a fun story arc. So I went back and read that recently, the entire Curse of the Mutants story. And I thought that was really cool.
Curse of the Mutants?
Curse of the Mutants is when Jubilee gets turned into a vampire. And she remains turned into a vampire for like 2 years of continuity. 3 years?
Oh, it was longer than that. Oh, God. It was too long. Time.
Way too long.
Yeah.
But I actually very much enjoyed that story. So, I don't know. Nothing too terribly important, but I thought it was interesting to see that. I was like, maybe I do like vampires in
Chris in Claremont has a weird fixation, and I would maybe not use that word, but just to be of like corrupted female characters. Of course. He uses Dracula a lot. You know, obviously, like there's the Dark Phoenix thing, and that was like, so maybe it's just like trying to recreate the magic with that. But I felt like, yeah, it was like always like Dracula's coming into it because it's like, ooh, he can turn Storm bad. It's just like, yeah, okay, like, good job, whatever. Him and John Byrne, like they both do it constantly,
yeah,
in their comics. Every like read, I don't care what series it is, like that they do, like the main female character in it becomes evil at some point.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean that is so many people take him up on that one, but I think that the later ones where it tends to be Wolverine is the corrupted character in them, specifically Curse of the Mutants. I thought that was a fun little bit, but yeah.
One of my favorite what ifs is the Wolverine becomes a vampire
and he eats a baby, which is still to me the craziest fucking thing that's ever happened in Marvel Comics. Tony showed me that comic like literally the first week Coast City was open. Tony was like, "Have you ever seen this book?" And I was like, "Nope." Nice. I was like, "Look, Wolverine eats a baby." Fuck you. No, what? Oh, yes, he totally does. Wow, that is surprising. That's spicy.
That is mental.
That's a lot more than I expect out of my X-Men.
You
know,
you don't see a lot of baby eating in comics. Not enough baby eating these days.
You know, back in the old days, it was nothing but baby eating, and now not so much.
The Flash and Superman team up to have a who can eat the most babies contest.
It's just never conclusive. That cover of Action Comics where Superman's eating the hamburgers.
Only hamburgers, it's babies. Yeah, it's just babies. Ooh,
oh, like shit. Anyway. Man. All right. We've thank you guys for listening. This is
this is the comic podcast where we talk about how many babies the Flash, who can eat the most babies, Flash or Superman.
Typical comic book shop conversation.
You know, the difference between us and Kevin Smith is that Kevin Smith would actually write that into a comic book.
That's a good point.
Also, there's a lot of differences other than that.
there may be others. I think it's millions of dollars is one of
the things. The whole having made successful films part.
God damn it.
Anyway,
you can follow us at I'm Actually Comics on Instagram.
I'll post stuff this week.
Follow us at Coast City Comics on Instagram. You can purchase things from coastcitycomics.com, which has all of your comic book needs. We have everything that we put out each week goes up on the web. And I'm putting up things from collections, vintage stuff going up all the time, more and more stuff constantly. I'm being bombarded, honestly, by people who are trying to sell me massive collections lately. It's really weird. I've had two giant toy collections. The GameStop in South Portland is going out of business and they want me to buy out their entire inventory. They just told me and I was like, I don't know if that's something I really want to do, but, maybe. I'm not gonna not look. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not something you get to do every day. Go in and see if maybe you want to buy the entire inventory of a GameStop. Maybe. It's probably all going to be garbage by the time they clearance everything out, but might be fun.
You never know. You might find some treasures. I remember when I went to New York and the Tower Records was closing there, the Times Square Tower Records. And I was like, I'm not going to find... They had like a million copies of the same three like CDs. It was like the same t-shirt. And I was just like, oh, this blows. And then I found this David Byrne book that I had been looking for years. And it was like, it had been read by like a million tourists. It was like dirty and all dog-eared and fucked up. I totally bought it for nothing. I was like, this is great. I still have it on my shelf. Nice. You never know. You can find all kinds of cool stuff in those closed stores.
Cool.
Hooray for closed businesses.
Hooray. Hey, man, giant corporate business goes out of business. I don't really care too much.
Yeah, no sympathy.
No, I have very GameStop. Little sympathy for GameStop.
Zero fucks given.
Yes. I have sympathy for their employees. I have sympathy for all of those people. But the giant corporation that goes out of business, not so much.
That's true.
Anyway, at any rate, we will see you next week. And thank you for joining us and all of those things.
Yeah.
Read some comics. There's some awesome fucking stuff this week.
Yeah, it's a good week for comics.
It is a good week to read some comics, so do that. And we will talk to you next week. Good night, Bob.
All right. Peace. Bye. See you. Thank you.